Welcome to Kick-Ass Radio, hosted by Jo Sainsbury, founder of Kick-Ass Women. Join Jo over the next hour as she shares stories and conversations that are both inspiring and empowering. Having spent over 30 years in the corporate sector, Jo Sainsbury kicked off her heels and became a coal train driver working in the rail and mining industry. It has been her goal ever since to empower and support women who are considering a career change into an industry role, making the transition as smooth as possible. Jo is a walking, talking success story of how taking the plunge into industry can open up a world of opportunity. And you can do it too. If you're a woman working in industry or considering a career change, this is the radio station for you. Let's get into this episode of Kick-Ass Radio.
Hey there, Glowgetters. Welcome to the Kick-Ass Radio Show. Am I excited for today's show? You bet your kick-ass I am. Today we are kicking off rounding off the month with our guest interview, Louise Azzopardi. And Louise is a qualified heavy vehicle mechanic turned trainer and assessor and now a life coach. But her journey is not as simple as that statement. So deciding what she wanted to do was pretty tricky. She had always known that she didn't want to continue on to year 11 and 12, but leaving school for an apprenticeship, it wasn't encouraged at the time. But she persisted in finding an apprenticeship anyway, defying suggestions from those around her, the naysayers. And after weeks of work experience, she finally secured an apprenticeship and so began her journey. So let's find out all about Louise's journey and what she has planned for the future. You are listening to Kick-Ass Radio Show Kickstart, where we talk about all things women working in non-traditional roles in varied male-dominated industries, and I tell you how it is. I'm your host, Jo Sainsbury, the Glowgetter. I hope we can keep you in good company over the coming hour, and a huge shout-out to all the women working out on track and on site today all over the globe. If you are an essential worker, of course, and you're not entrapped in lockdown, please stay safe, take care, and have a fantastic day or night shift. And this might also be a good time for a trigger warning that today's radio show may contain some adult language. Let's get into it. Okay. Hello, Louise, and welcome to Kick-Ass Radio. Firstly, thank you for coming on the show and for sharing some of your valuable time with us today. I know you are super busy, but I also know we are all going to enjoy your company and we're eager to hear some great advice from you, which will ensure women stepping out and into the workshops and on work sites are leveling up. So let me just say that I really admire you and the massive amount of hard yakka you are putting into your business, and I love the leveling up term. Not only as it is motivating, but it got me thinking about what it might look like in all areas of our life. And the term simply means to improve your current station in a way that it feels like a powerful shift. And it starts with a change in thought, a shift in mindset, and followed by brave action. And the fuel that drives all of that is passion. And that's what you clearly show. So with passion powering us, let's find out how you leveled up.
I kind of had this crazy story where, I don't know if it was too crazy. It's my normal. People tell me it's crazy. but really, I kind of just had this mindset that I just wanted to be a mechanic. So when I was in year 10, there was no ifs, buts, or maybes about it. Or probably a second term of year 10, I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to be a mechanic. And kind of at that point in my life, that was like the main goal, become a mechanic. And as I kind of stepped into that and, you know, filled out that role, the self-doubt crept in, life crept in, trying to do everything else and balance everything else crept in as well. And during that process, I had people looking at me from the outside. So I have a really amazing mentor and close friend who, along that whole process, he was my apprentice master at the time. And he's the one who probably really kicked off this process. By really putting me out there to do extra bits and pieces, nominate me for awards, put me forward to compete in different things. One of those things was the World Skills competition. And that started a shift in me that I didn't even know was possible. I competed in 2015 regionally in the heavy vehicle. Well, I'm a heavy vehicle mechanic by trade. so I did that. So the regional competition was in 2015. And I had like a week's notice and I was like, Oh my God, like at the time I was an engine specialist and the competition was on the whole vehicle. And I was like, oh God, there's so much I don't know. But now looking back, being able to tell myself that there was so much I don't know and going to that competition with an open mind was a skill that I didn't realize not everyone has. So I went into that competition, studied a little bit beforehand, went in with the goal not to come last. Because, start small so you can feel the wins.
Exactly,
ended up, that's
exactly.
it. You got to tick those little things off your list to really get you feeling good. I ended up coming second in that competition. The next year, I got the opportunity to compete in the national competition. And something that also helped really change my mindset was I was nominated to complete the Ryla Youth Camp, which is Rotary Youth Leadership Awards Camp. It was a week-long camp sponsored by Rotary. Pretty much simply from the outside, it was 70 youth, so I think it was between 18 and 25, were just cramped on this camp with a whole heap of seminars. We never even met each other before. And it was the most life-changing experience that I've ever had. I met so many different people and saw things from so many different perspectives, learned a whole heap of skills, and one of them was my public speaking skill, which I use often now, which I never thought I would. So from that experience and meeting all those people and having that really intense week, it changed my mind shift to, you know what, I can do whatever I put my mind to. After that, actually about a month after that, I found out that I was going to be able to compete in the National World Skills Competition. And I had a very different mindset from going into the regional competition where I was like, I'm not going to come last. And then going into the national competition, I was like, I am not coming second again. There is only one position I
That's number one,
want here.
always, always number one.
Yeah, that's it. And I feel like if I hadn't had set that small goal at the beginning for the regional competition, it wouldn't have given me that mindset to have that larger goal for the national competition. And I did. I managed to achieve that first place. It was a lot of hard work. I was working a weekend job to get more experience. I was studying two courses at TAFE, plus going in an extra night for training. Ended up changing jobs in the process. Yeah, there was a lot of behind the scenes work that went into it. And another thing, we had a New South Wales training camp, and there was two other competitors from New South Wales competing in the nationals. And I went to that training camp. And I was like, yeah, I'm doing a lot of work. And I was like, yeah, I'm training to win this. And the other guys at the camp, the two other guys there, they were like, you're gonna win. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, I'm still in the process of training. Like, I'm trying to win. But they were like, no, you're gonna win. And I was like, oh, okay
That's the power of positivity coming out in you, see?
Yeah, that's it. And then from there, I ended up, yeah, so I won the nationals. I got the opportunity to compete at the international competition, where I then come fourth in the world, which was amazing. It was such, like, to be honest, like I say, an amazing experience. It was really overwhelming. There was so many different emotions happening at the time. There was a lot of tears, especially because I had put so much pressure on myself. Like, where I was going into the nationals, it was kind of that playful energy of, yeah, I'm not coming second again. But in the international competition, I was like, it was a different mindset of like, yeah, I'm gonna try hard. But then I was really beating myself up along the way.
Putting yourself
So I
under the
ended up to,
spotlight, more to say, more to speak.
yeah, that's it. And I felt like I put so much pressure on myself because I was taking in all these other factors. Like, I was so going into the national competition, I was the first female to compete in the nationals in the heavy vehicle competition. So then I was also going to be the first female to compete in the international competition in that category, plus the first person Australia had ever sent to compete in that category as well.
Wow, so there's some major milestones and fantastic achievements. So kudos to you for that, particularly.
Yeah, it was like looking back on it, I'm like, oh, that was amazing. But when I was in the moment, it was rather than being grateful for having the position, it was like, you have to prove yourself. And I was tired of talking to myself in that stern tone rather than letting myself have fun with it and take it as a opportunity for growth rather than being like, you have to do this. So I think that really kind of looking back on it was an amazing experience. But if I could change one thing about it, it would just be like a bit kinder to myself, because I think about it and I'm like, there's so many more things I could have enjoyed where I was just like so stressed.
And I think we all come to those thoughts in our own minds. Like, that's an amazing journey. And as I said, you're to be congratulated for those great milestones and achievements. The journey that you've trekked, and that's what it's all about. It starts with deciding to take that big step and go to the place that scares you. So just listening to what you were saying there, the tall poppy syndrome, our imposter syndrome, it always creeps in, doesn't it? So you obviously suffered from that at some progression through that stage and your trade. Yeah. And it's sad.
I definitely did.
It's sad because in our society, which should value praise and recognition, being an achiever, ironically, has its downside. And there's always a tendency for some to criticise those who stand out. But we're always so hard on ourselves in, you know, our limiting self-beliefs. But you've just got to learn to take that, like as you say, level up and take the steps in taking that first big step and stepping out of your comfort zone and putting all that belief back into yourself. So, yes, that's a great journey.
Yeah, that's it. I think probably the reason why I started talking about the self-pressure so much is on Wednesday I did a video about self-pressure and talking about the actual thoughts that I was having throughout. And then a few weeks ago I did one about like acknowledging your achievements. Mm. And I think just I feel like some people who are, well, for me personally, I feel like it's a negative, or I feel like I might be cocky if I'm like, yeah, I achieved this. Like, I don't want to be seen as up myself, which is something that kind of overpowered letting me celebrate myself. And I think that also, yeah, celebrate my wins. And that, I think, now looking back on it and learning like some coaching techniques as well, that kind of feeds the imposter syndrome, because you don't think you deserved it because you're taking all those milestones away.
That's right.
Like, yes, you know, I did do all that training to get that, but really you're like, no, that didn't happen. Like, I'm just like everyone else. But you're like, yes, I did that. And that means I belong here. I think a lot of us take out that step to be humble. And then it causes some issues that you don't realize.
That's right. And you have to celebrate every win, no matter how small or big it is. And it's like learning from our failures. So everyone always needs to celebrate the wins. It's, you know, that's part of our lifelong learning. Now, getting back to the World Skills competition, that was fantastic. But I know that you've transitioned from being competitor now, and now that you're a judge, like, tell us about that. How did you manage to score that gig?
So actually now I'm a chief judge, so wow. I'm running the show. but it was a process as well. And that's like, it's also something that I've had to recently overcome some imposter syndrome about, because it has happened. Technically, when you look at the timeline compared to other people who were chief judges, my timeline happened actually really quickly. And there's actually, now thinking about my timeline, there's another girl who won gold the same year that I did, who was chief judge of her category as well. And she's also in a male-dominated category. So I'm super excited to have someone like that.
Definitely.
But yeah, it went from competing as a competitor in the national 2016, then internationals in 2017. Then in 2018, I actually judged at the Sydney National Competition. And then later that year, I chief judged a regional competition that was held at the construction convention. So it was a bit of a different regionals, because regionals is usually run at TAFE, so within the TAFE Centre, and then all the TAFE teachers organise it. But they wanted to do one out in industry. So they had to get all of us from all over to come and help coordinate that. And that was actually a big process for me, because I took on the role thinking, you know, this is scary, but the chief judge for the Sydney Nationals, who like I worked with a few months before, he was also my mentor, was supposed to be like co-organizing it with me. And then he ended up getting too busy. And then from something that I was like, and he was like, oh, I'm here for a phone call, but I just can't be super involved. And so from that, like, I was already pushing myself by being like co with someone. And then it was like, you're it now.
Another great challenge, which you obviously successfully tackled and so you're a chief judge now. So how has the participation in that grown? Do we see more females in that world skills or the skills competition now?
Yeah, so there is actually, I think the biggest jump of female participation they've seen, there was a stat from 2019 was when the last internationals was, and it was in Russia, actually, as a volunteer. So I got to see all that from the outside as a relaxed position, which yep. I was grateful for. Not too much stress there. But they had 25% female participation in that competition, which was amazing. They're a fairly large competition in vehicle spray painting. And coming back to the heavy vehicle competition, which is like my baby, since I competed, so I was the first person, like first female to compete. When I judged in 2018 at the national competition, there was another female competitor. When I was chief judge in the regional competition that I coordinated, I managed to get on another female judge who was actually pregnant at the time. So that was a big thing, and that was lovely as well. And then going into the international competition in 2019, there wasn't any female participation in that competition. But now heading into what was supposed to be the 2020 competition and may be the 2021 competition, depends if we get postponed again. Yeah. There's me as a chief judge for the national competition. I have a female judge in my team, and we also have a female competitor coming through. So
excellent.
Just in my little baby, it has grown.
Oh, great to see the participation and the willingness. And we all have so much to share. So as we said, that's a fantastic achievement again to get those other ladies on board. So coming back to stepping out of your trade, what made you take the leap out of the trade and into your coaching now? So you've become a coach. And what's your aim to achieve with your coaching? And what do you find most challenging with it?
Yeah, I think stepping out. So I stepped out of the trade in 2018, and I stepped into a training and assessor role. And then from there, I spent two years in the trainer and assessor role, and now I am doing life coaching for women in trades, as well as still continuing to do training and assessment. But yeah, I think I was just in the transition and in a lot of the extra stuff that I was doing. So outside of work, social media. I was doing a lot of mentoring and a lot of speaking and going to different events and talking about my experience as a woman in the trades, and then mentoring girls butt off here and there, some a bit more frequently. Some girls I've been in contact with for a few years now and still chat to all the time. But that was the bit that I really loved about it. Like, I love being technical, but then I was kind of frustrated at there's a few things that I was kind of a bit frustrated with, the lack of female people to look up to. Yeah. So the first time I saw a qualified heavy vehicle mechanic was when I was a third year. Before that, I had never seen any female qualified mechanics.
A very broad path, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. And also that the things that I wanted to talk about and kind of just let out, there wasn't really anyone who understood. And a lot of the time in the workplace, those things are kind of like borderline. And if you talk about them with HR, they're like, oh, so do you want to get someone fired? I'm like, no, I just want a technique on how to fix the situation. I just want to vent about a comment that was said of him. Mm. Yeah, how to manage it. And going into training and assessment, having a group of students under me was something that I really thought would help that process, you know, like teaching the young people, being a woman in that position, and having that knowledge and being respected that way, then they would go out into the workforce and, you know, have that same respect for women out there. But I was just getting really frustrated about that gap between doing nothing and then that extreme action of like that HR process. And I was like, there needs to be something in the middle. Like, a lot of these situations can be dealt with just a few different like techniques,
that's mental conversations,
looking, reframing. And I couldn't find anywhere to get that support in that direct kind of world. And especially like I did a few different mentoring programs, But mentoring is slightly different to coaching, whereas like coaching is more about finding the answers within yourself.
Yeah.
Whereas mentoring is like, oh, this is what I did.
Yeah, giving you feedback on your performance. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's it.
And I think that it's awesome, an awesome contribution that you're giving to empowering women, because I'm also a big believer in supporting and reinforcing confidence in women. And like, that's my mantra, paying it forward pays back. And it's essential to provide support by way of, you know, reaching back and pulling out others up behind us. And we need to grow and develop our circles of impact, so to speak. So we need those little networks where we can go to, have someone to talk to like yourself in, you know, with women in trade. We need to develop and grow those circles of impact more predominantly, so women don't feel like they're being left on the shelf, so to speak, and, you know, they're feeling intimidated. They're afraid to speak up or, you know, raise an issue. So we need lots of varied perspectives. And I think that's, yeah, I think that's great what you're doing with your coaching, especially. So we might take a little break and we'll hear from one of the show sponsors and we'll come back and find out a little bit more about you.
Yep, sounds good.
Hey, Glowgetters, have you heard about Kick-Ass Women? Founded by Jo Sainsbury, Kick-Ass Women is dedicated to empowering and supporting women who are considering a career change into an industry role. Visit our brand new website at www.kickasswomen.com.au or follow Kick-Ass Women on Facebook and LinkedIn today to keep up to date with all things Kick-Ass Women and the incredible opportunities and content we have for you. See you there, Glowgetters.
Okay, so thanks for tuning back in, and we're here leveling up with Louise as a party, trainer and coach within the trades industry. Okay, Louise, we've delved a little into your career and your journey. So can you tell us now, why do you think women should consider non-traditional roles, particularly in the trades industry?
I think it's really important to do what you love, and considering going into the trades is a really great option because there's so many different parts of being a tradie. There's so many different skills and it actually really keeps your mind super active. That's one of my favourite parts about it is there's just so many different things to think about, to learn and to grow into. So with my trade with mechanical, you can go into, so going into it as an apprentice, you've got whole heap of machines that you can learn to work on and a whole heap of tasks that you can learn to do. And also there's the fault finding side of things where you're trying to work out why something is happening. And generally it's something that the engineers didn't think of would happen in the real world.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, it's all up in your head and actually quite mentally challenging. As well as being someone who can't really sit in a chair for very long, you're always out there moving and you're really active physically and mentally as well, using mass, using different parts of your brain.
And that's right, a career in the trades, it brings opportunity for personal pride in what you said, in what you're building, disassembling, reassembling, you're repairing, you're making things operable, or you're fault finding, you're troubleshooting, and then you're diagnosing. So the trades are an exciting and ever-evolving industry, and every day and every project or task you do is different. And it's not just about swinging a spanner, so to speak. You know, there's an abundance of career pathways and progressions, like you have clearly paved the way for yourself, and you shine as a starring role model in the mechanical trade. So recruiting women, for me, I think, is a win-win, and it represents the largest untapped talent pool available to employers needing to attract and recruit and retrain a skills shortage workforce. So, yes, we need, like, change begins with education about the role of women and the importance of staying connected in these industries. So how do you think access to education and training is within the trade? Is it in abundance there? Like, is there plenty of resource there for the women to get into the trade?
There is a lot of different resources that people can use to get into the trades. But mostly, like, well, because the way that trade education works mostly is you do have a formal kind of side to it, but a lot of it is learnt on the job kind of thing. So people's opinion and value of you in the workforce actually has a really impact on how much you learn, because you need to get that information from those people. One thing that I come across a lot is people immediately assuming that if you're small, and generally as well, if you're female, some people assume that a trade isn't for you because you're not strong enough and all that kind of thing. And to be honest, you do build up your strength, but even the males build up their strengths in the trades as well. But one thing that I really remembered as part of my apprenticeship, it wasn't a formal thing, but there was lots of bodybuilders kind of in my workshop as well. And I found I was asking them for help as much as they were asking me for help, because they couldn't get into different spots and different positions. So that comes in the diverse side of things. Like, it's not even just diversity in gender, diversity in size, shape, thinking, and all that kind of stuff.
And that's right. And that's exactly, as you said, diversity isn't about gender alone. It's about the different perspectives on a realm of things. But that's, you know, coming back to the education and the access. And we should want women of all ages to have these opportunities and to be able to access the benefits and the prospects in all these roles and industries. So we need to reinforce the confidence of women to know, like, as you said, you don't need to be big and strong. They're just skills. They're not man skills. And, you know, you build that strength up, whether it's mental strength and physical strength. But there's also, you know, today's technology, there's a lot of mechanical aids that, you know, to help you in those jobs nowadays. But
yeah, that's it. And I think another thing, going back to that, the casual education of it all, a lot of the base skills, typically the fathers pass on to their sons kind of thing, that go out in the garage and do things. And I think that's something that's really important in the process of getting more women into trades, that they're learning younger, that they feel confident to do woodwork and tech and design skills in school. They feel confident to, you know, go out and, you know, if it is their dad who has still got that typical outdoor role to go out and, you know, if that's something they're interested in, start learning then, you know. And if you don't have that opportunity to start learning when you're young and you want to, there's YouTube, there's so many things online that kind of base learning can come from so many different places.
That's right. As you said, YouTube opens up another world of education where, you know, it, even though a lot of it's do-it-yourself, but you can learn so much and give you that little base knowledge, and then you can progress from there. So yeah, that's great. So getting on to when you were back into a workplace, what do you think, how does a good workplace culture look from your perspective?
Oh, I really like a really in kind of inclusive and collaborative culture. Something that where, you know, everyone's opinion is valid, everyone's heard, and everyone's respected. For me, kind of being treated equally no matter how old you are is really important. It's something that I found at my last full-time job. I was a trainer at Westrack, and I think I was on average 40 years younger than everyone else.
That's rubbing it in here too.
But even in that, Joe, like, I don't feel like you treat me any different because of my age, and I sure hope you don't feel like I treat you any different. But that is something that doesn't happen everywhere. I think that's something that's so important, not even just in gender, in the age different. I know, like, a lot of young people are like, oh, those old guys, they do things this way. But, you know, there's a benefit from that diversity. It's also diversity of age as well, and just respecting everyone's level.
And that's right. And, like, leadership makes for a connected and empowered workforce. And as you said, when you have a culture of trust, openness and collaboration, and to shift the mentality to one of continuous learning, it makes for an empowered workplace culture. So those principles need to be instilled into the workplace by the leadership team, and it has to be felt and given out by everyone. So, yeah, it's imperative that we, you know, promote diversity, because it presents for a broader range of champions within the workplace. And as we said, across, you know, different realms, whether it's gender, ethnicity, religion, mindset, knowledge, experience. So it all builds into our empowered workforce. So that's great. And what would you say to women who are hesitant to consider a trade, as they might think it's pale, male and stale? You know, they're like, oh, no, I don't want to go there.
Just go in and, you know, you can put your pink scrunchie in and just go for your life.
That's right.
I think that's something that I got my pink hard hat.
Yeah.
I think that also is something that comes with time, the confidence to be able to do that. But you know what? You want to go in there because you love what you do. Don't worry about what's happening around you, no matter like what the people look like that you're going to work with. For me now, it was like a bit of a process, and it's kind of like there's a psychological side of it, of like building rapport and then being able to change. So a lot of the time when I started my journey, I come in and I tried to look as similar as I could to everyone else. Mm. But in time, as I kind of found my space and I was respected for my thoughts, out come the colored hair scrunchies, the different colored shirts, the different colored boots, and I really stepped into, you know, being my full self. But sometimes that is a process, especially if you're going into an environment that isn't used to someone like you. You know, you might change a little bit at the beginning, but make sure you bring yourself back in.
And that's right. And I associate that with like earning your stripes. You don't need to act like one of the boys. You need to gain respect. By gaining respect, acting yourself, you know, being yourself. That's what it's all about. And in time, you will gain the respect and the trust. You will earn your stripes from being you. And that's the most important thing. You need to show up.
And then
up.
You can change the colour of your stripes.
Exactly. They can be, you know, multicoloured stripes. But it's about showing up as the brightest and kick-ass version of yourself, whatever that means to you. But you need to stay authentic to yourself. So it doesn't matter your age. If your work quality is strong and you are keen, you need to adopt the position of being a lifelong learner and being yourself, coming to work every day as you, that bright, sparky, colourful you.
Yeah, that's it.
So getting back to being, we'll go back to a little bit of diversity here. What are the top three things you think businesses can do to be more inclusive for females in the trades industry?
I think be open-minded mm-hmm. and listen. I think one thing that kind of comes is like a lot of people think women like complain, but really men have been taught to not speak. Mm-hmm. So lots of the things that women bring up may be seen as unusual, but a lot of the guys have been suffering for them for a while, so they can really help change the whole dynamic of the workplace. They can also just be welcoming and try not to treat them any differently. I know like some people try and treat us differently. They're like, oh, you know, you're different, we need to treat you differently, but then sometimes it makes it worse.
Mm-hmm.
But just treat us the same. We know what we're getting into, we know what the environment's going to be like.
That's right.
And if you're nervous about something that you're doing around a woman, you probably shouldn't be doing it at all. Let's be honest.
And I like that. Like, it's foster and support them, you know. We need to promote women, employ them, retain them, and promote them and foster their growth. So I think that's very important. And like you said, to be inclusive and to offer those things to the females within the trade. So if our listeners want to reach out to you, Louise, and seek some further inspiration or motivation, do you have anything in particular you want to offer them up or have on offer?
Yeah, so I've actually got a one-on-one coaching program. So if anyone would like to chat with me further, I do have a free clarity call, so we can see how we can work together to really help you, like to help you fulfill your potential and really achieve your goals and level up. I also have a free masterclass coming up called Presenting Tradies. It's on the 14th of July, and it's really just putting your story together in a way that you can share it effectively, where to start, where to go to with that, and just being able to share your story to make sure others don't feel alone in something you might have felt alone going through. People can find me on a few different platforms. My main platform is Instagram. I've got Louise_19. Louise_as_a_party_1996. I've also got a YouTube channel, which is super original, which is Louise's Party. I put all my videos up on there, talking about different things that I've learned along the way.
And I follow you on Instagram, and your videos are great. They're very informational. And I also love your personality that you bring to the screen. That is you, and it's great to see. So we'll take a little break. We'll hear from one of the sponsors of the show, and we'll come back and we'll wrap it up, because I've got take five tips that I usually do, but actually I've got actually eight tips today we're gonna spell out, and it's about your term of leveling up. So let's hear from one of the show sponsors and we'll be back to wrap it up.
Hey Glow Getters, did you know that Jo Sainsbury is a published author for her book High Heels to High Viz and has been named an Amazon number one bestseller? Telling the story about Jo's transition from the corporate sector into industry, High Heels to High Viz acts as a guide for women who are considering a non-traditional role and career. High Heels to High Viz is available for purchase online at all leading bookstores, including Amazon, Dimex, Waterstones and eBay.
Okay, so we've had a great conversation with Louise as a party today. We're going to round out the show with our take five, or actually take eight tips in the list today. So with passion powering us, here are some thoughts about leveling up. Number one is start with the questions. Take time and specifically journal. So in the areas of your life, where do you want to step or leap to the next level? In your career, your purpose, stretch your wildest dreams. Your health and well-being, get real with where you are and where you want to be. Your relationships, current as well as future desired. And life enrichment, skills you want to learn, places you want to go, they're important. Take tip, number two tip is define the big step. Ask yourself what feels like a big step. Make a list of the steps, you know, and in all areas of your life. What is it for you? Is it making that phone call you know could change things for you in your career, or booking a venue for a new training launch or a program launch? If you've got one, going back to school, furthering your education, or quitting a job that doesn't fulfill you and transitioning into a new career, go to the place that scares you. Start with your big step from that place. Number three is say yes to the things that feel like a level up and say no to those that don't. Some aid you and some stop you. This is where your trust, or where you trust your gut and your intuition, and that's what you should always go with. When you slow down to listen to the voice of your body, you'll know which is which. Number four is acknowledge the yeah buts, that self-belief. We all have it. These are the fears which feel real but mostly are imagined. They're all up in our head. The yeah buts are simply expectations of outcomes that we've made up to protect ourselves from those fears. You know, I'm not good enough. They won't like me. I don't have enough time to do that. I'm too old. It's too expensive. I'm too young. I don't have enough experience. That's what leveling is up, recognizing the yeah buts and then doing it anyway. That's brave. So meet the yeah but with hell yeah. That's number five. It's the self-pep talk to squash the yeah buts. Oh, yeah, here's what I know I am good at. Oh, yeah, my people, my right to progress with what I want to do, what I have to offer. Oh, yeah, I have the time because I'll make the time. And, oh, yeah, I'm not too old. I'm seasoned, but I'm experienced and I'm wise. Number six is inhale the future and exhale the past. Don't stay stuck in old stories and patterns that have held you back in the past. It didn't work then, and it certainly won't work in moving you forward. Number seven is visualize you living at your up level. What does it look like, feel like, smell like? How's the air up there? See it in your mind's eye, a day in the life of you living your big life. And number eight is the most important. Give someone else a lift up too. Offering others a hand up as you've leveled up pays dividends exponentially. It's just good karma. And that's my mantra. Paying it forward pays back. And as with all things, do it from and with passion. So our safety affirmation for the day is, There is no passion to be found in playing small, in setting for a life that is less than the one you are capable of living. That comes from Nelson Mandela. Okay, we'll round it out now. Thanks, Louise, for being a fantastic guest on our show. Congratulations to you and your amazing milestones and achievements. We wish you the best of luck with your training and coaching business. And, guys, I do hope you have enjoyed our show and our guests. A very big special thank you to Louise as a party for sharing her story with us. And I hope you all have found the information about Louise very inspiring and that it gives you something to ponder and perhaps action over the weekend. We need inspirational women and men as role models for young teen girls and young women to learn these valuable skills from. Let's help girls develop their leveling up of strength potential. Each and every one has potential. Let's make an effort to encourage those around us and speak about the potential we see in others. With the right mentorship, like resources on offer from Louise, young girls and women listening today will be our future leaders, entrepreneurs, adventurers, and the women who lead the world tomorrow. As always, I really appreciate you guys giving me your time to listen to the radio show. You can find more information on this episode and links to Louise in the show notes or on my social media pages, either on Facebook, LinkedIn, or Instagram. Be sure to tune in again next week where we're going to step out onto site, and that is in the construction industry, and chat with Amanda Bulow from AWIC, Awesome Women in Construction in Australia. Reach out to me and follow me on Kick-Ass Women or Joe Sainsbury social media pages, or you can send me an email to Jody, J-O-D-Y, at kickasswomen.com.au, or, as I said, find me on the social media pages. Well, that's it. That's all for today's show. Thanks for your company and for listening to Kick-Ass Radio. It's not goodbye, but see you later. Stay safe and well. Keep in touch, POSCOMs. Thanks, Louise. Go on, get your glow on. Become a glow-getter.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Kick-Ass Radio, where we kick goals and deliver empowering conversations for women. Want to hear more from Kick-Ass Women and Joe Sainsbury? Visit the Kick-Ass Women website or follow Kick-Ass Women on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. See you on the next episode of Kick-Ass Radio.